Morning. Well, over the past 5 weeks, we've brought you exhortations in preparation for two changes that we're going to be making right here to this time of confession. And firstly, we will begin reciting together a corporate prayer of confession. And secondly, we will be kneeling during our prayers of corporate and private confession. And so we started 5 weeks ago and provided a basis for corporate confession from Daniel 9. And then in Ezra 10, we discussed how kneeling or bowing the knee is an appropriate posture before the Lord as we confess our sins together. And then we were reminded from Joel 2 how we're commanded to turn to the Lord and confess our sins, particularly as it relates to that internal heart of confession connected to our external actions, such as bowing to the Lord, as we do in prayer and confession. Then in Psalm 95, we discussed how we are to give all of our being to worship in God, the totality of ourselves, internal and external, to worship in Him. And then last week, from 1 Corinthians 14, we heard how we should be greatly moved by God's truth, convicted with hearts revealed, as this affects how we rightly approach our God in worship. And today, as our final and sixth exhortation on the topic of these new elements in our corporate worship, I want to provide a bit of a summary, as well as address some good questions that several of you have asked over these past 5 weeks. So let us first remember that in our time of confession, we place this right at the beginning of our service, right? It's right after our exaltation to God, we go to confession. And this is for a very important reason. Confession is the biblical model that we see exhibited throughout the people of God as the key position of humility, a recognition of who we are, our need for salvation, and our present status of forgiveness and reconciliation of God to God, so that we may rightly worship Him, we might praise Him, we may receive His truth. We have to come before God rightly to commune with Him openly. And entering our worship with confession is not only unifying to God's people, but as Paul says in Ephesians 4, it's really the only door by which we can enter to know true joy and authentic worship of our God. Because genuine confession really crushes a self-righteous spirit within us. It humbles us before God. It brings us again to that place where we can worship Him. And confession reminds us that we come as God's redeemed people. We're no better than anyone else here. We've all sinned. It's only by His grace that enables us to know God and to worship Him. And so, you know, for the past, I guess it's been about 23 years or so, 22 years, we've always started our service with this time of confession. But why bring the corporate element to it? Why are we introducing a corporate prayer that we will say together? Well, first of all, we see that the corporate nature of prayer throughout the scriptures, and even from Christ Himself, right? Just actually in the Lord's Prayer, as we just said, forgive us our debts. Christ's prayer assumes a public, plural, corporate context. And secondly, God commands it in Scripture, right? In Jeremiah 3, it says, we are, as the people of God, to acknowledge our iniquity before Him and to come to Him honestly, because He already knows our sins. But we confess them and remain in fellowship with Him, as Hebrews 12 instructs us. And so, as a part of this, we're reminded of what Hosea 14 says, that we plead for His mercy once again in this time of confession. And we say, like Hosea did, take away all of our iniquity and receive us graciously, for we will offer the sacrifice of our lips. And thirdly, the covenant people of God modeled this. They modeled corporate confession. We hear this cry that we have all sinned is repeated throughout the scripture by God's people, by Moses, Ezra, Nehemiah, Daniel, Jeremiah, and all in the corporate assembly as the gatway, the beginning start to rightly worship God, so that we are to confess our trespasses to one another and corporately with one another. Now we notice that following this time, what do we do every week? Right after this time of confession, we read our scriptural promise of pardon, right? And we read that together. This is also very important because with corporate confession of sin, if that was the end, if that was it just by itself there, it would just result in despair. But we know of our God's faithfulness. So we go from confession right to remembering his covenant promises, his forgiveness and mercy. We don't stay sitting in our sins, admiring our boils, but we move forward to press ahead to the upward call of Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we cannot dwell on sin. We cannot even confess unless we also remember that God delights in forgiving us, in restoring communion with him by the contrite confessions of his people. So in our service, we lift up our eyes from our time of confession, and we immediately declare God's promised forgiveness in our scriptural promise of pardon. And we say that together. It's like we say, yes, we have sinned, but our faith is in Christ, and we know he forgives our sins. Now, we're also going to start kneeling. We're going to start kneeling during our corporate and personal prayers of confession. And one question that I received was that, are we going to start kneeling for all the prayers during our service? And no, we're not. We're just going to kneel during these two prayers of confession, corporate and personal, because as we discussed, kneeling is a posture that God prescribes of humility. And so that should be the state of our heart, and humble confession aligned to the outward expression, bowing the knee, body and soul connected. Now, another good question that I got was, just mechanically thinking through it, if we are kneeling and praying, and usually we pray with our eyes closed, how can we say this prayer at the same time? Well, one young lady mentioned to me that she could memorize the confessional corporate prayer each week, and amen, that would be great, but that's not necessary. Keep in mind, also, the scriptures never mention that closing of the eyes is needful in prayer, but we encourage you to review the corporate prayer of confession prior to the service each week to prepare your hearts. So what most likely is going to happen is that we're going to be kneeling to say our corporate prayer of confession together, and you should have your bulletin ready in your hand to read that and say that together with the rest of the congregation. Lastly, regarding kneeling, this is something new for us. As I said, in 22 years of this church, we've never done this as a formal part of the service where we corporately will kneel together. And in fact, it might be new for you. Perhaps kneeling in prayer is not something that you do, or maybe something you've done in a very long time. But just recognize this is an opportunity we have to worship God, to love our God, and to love one another. And so, like with any change, it may take us some time to get accustomed to this. And so don't look down on someone next to you who's not kneeling right when we start doing this. It may take time to grow into it, and consider our visitors as well in this regard. But our desire, of course, is that we all kneel together, just as we stand together, just as we sing together, just as we take of the Lord's Supper together, the corporate together oneness of the worship of God's people. And just one final word on kneeling. Perhaps you're thinking right now you're a little reticent to kneel. I'm not really sure about this kneeling idea. I would just encourage you to try it. It's indeed important that the heart and body are unified in our expressions of worship, and we don't want to compromise this. But just as when you are perhaps called to stand for when an important person enters into a room, it instills within you a bit of a sense of honor, a sense of respect, a sense of, this is how God's made us. It's a form of honor. And so similarly, in kneeling, in the humble position that it is, may gird your heart in the right direction of humility. Because this is a posture of meekness that God has assigned to us. And he knows how we work, right? He knows when we're on our knees, we're probably a little more humble. And he made us that way. So, just as we've seen how God's given us this posture, how he commanded it to his people, there's an aspect here of corporate faith. Even as we kneel together, we will display that. Just as the Israelites priests, you remember them? They first had to put their feet into the water of the Jordan so that upstream the waters would be cut off. And today in faith, we bow in humble confession to our King. And he ushers in the corporate spirit of humility to the entire congregation in kneeling in confession. So I encourage you to kneel during this time in our worship, just as you stand. It's really no different. Secondly, just a reminder that we are the people of God, aren't we? Amen. We're called out. We're set apart, right? We're strangers and aliens. And we're called to do things differently in this world. And I know we go to work meetings, we go to conferences, we sit, we may go to a presentation at the county and stand for the playing of the national anthem. And we're fine with these postures, but this time, brothers and sisters, is much more than a meeting, isn't it? This is the worship of Almighty God. It's not a town hall meeting. This is the worship of God. We are the sheep of his pasture. And it's going to look different. We're going to do different things than perhaps we're accustomed to in the world. And this is the amazing worship of God. We get to kneel before the King of Kings. Amen. So next week, as we begin taking part in our corporate prayer of confession and kneeling in this time, let us just remember our connection in Christ. As Daniel said, we have sinned. We recognize our sins. And the sins like those manifested themselves in Israel, in Corinth, in Galatia, may we remember our covenant body, unity, and corporately confess our sins before God. And after we confess, let us corporately remember the redemption, the hope and grace of our God, and then enter into worship with joy. Because corporate confession sets the table, as it were, so that with a clear, unified heart, all in harmony, we declare this love of God to one another. We serve one another. We encourage one another. And as the bride of Christ, we remember that it's together that we're saved. That it's together that we confess. Together we repent, growing together and glorifying him as one body. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank you that you have given us the grand and undeserving opportunity to know you. That you have quickened within us and regenerated our souls, that we are convinced by the work of the Holy Spirit, oh, of our sin. Oh, that we need a Savior. That you renew our mind to see rightly the truth of eternity of the living God. And that you have risen us to life. And that we get in this time to come and worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We look forward to this. And we look forward to starting it rightly with humble hearts, confessing our sins before you, O God. And by that, would you prepare our hearts to enter into the joyful worship of our King. And we take a moment now to individually confess our sins to you.